Today's daf in Besechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Yud Zayin, and we are holding right at the bottom of the Amud Beis, of Kuf Tet Zayin Amud Beis. So now, the next thing that happened is after we learned the halacha that you're supposed to say Bavur Zeh, and and you have to identify by lifting the matzah, the mor zushan or zeshan or achlim. The next thing we do is we move on to the words Lefichach, Anu, Chayovim, Lahidais, Lahalal, and so on and so forth, until we reach the word V'nomar Lefanav, Haleluka. Now, that, remember that Tosis understood that to mean Ne'mar Lefanav Shir Chadash, and the word Haleluka is the beginning of the next words. Haleluka, Haleluka, Avdei Hashem, and so on and so forth, which is what we are about to do when we read the Hal. Now, the question is, as we have seen, there are multiple references in the Haggadah on many different levels. So matzah has two completely different identifications. The ambience of the kosot have two completely different implications. The matcha bignut and misayim b'shevach have two completely different implications. The machlokas Rav and Shmuel in the nature of the Haggadah, and so on and so forth. And these things are profoundly intertwined with each other throughout. The question is, Hallel itself, the words of the Hallel, what does that word mean? Hallelujah. Now, I mean, we know that the Goyim understand the word. I mean, they just use the word in a completely secular fashion. So they say, Hallelujah. What that really means is, you know, let's praise it up. What an incredible experience this is, right? I mean, except in a specifically, you know, church situation where over there, they may simply be quoting the Torah's Hallelujah, and they know it really means a reference to God. But does it? So, Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. There are words that are written as if they're one word, but they aren't necessarily one word. And then there are words that appear sometimes as two words that are actually one word. You take a look at the word Hallelujah, or you look at the word Kesiyah, Yad al Kesiyah, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls Shlomo Yedidya. So that Yedidya, all of those three words are actually achasem. They're actually one word. You can't write them as two words. And because of that, they are not references to the name of God. They're just identifications, and they don't mean case ka. They mean kesya. Yedid, that would be, because, I mean, if you say it that way, you might as well say ginger kale. There's not, I mean, ginger ale is ginger ale. It's not ginger kale. And the same thing is true of a hallelujah or of yedidya. You're all one word. Now, when we say they're one word, by the way, I mean, it's a sort of weird word. Where do we get throwing in the words yud hey at the end of a thing? So the Rashbam brings cases where we find that it is the derech of Lashon HaKodesh to actually turn something into a concept by adding the letters yud hey at the end. So, for instance, he brings that we have sometimes we refer, instead of saying something is underneath, we'll call it a tachtia. Instead of saying something is a binyan, we will use the word habinya. So that means that the same thing might be true here as well. It becomes one word, which is just a poetic way of saying the idea and expanding it poetically. So those words are all one. That so says Rabbi Yochanan. Rav says Kesya and Merchavya are one word. So when we say Anani ber Merchav ka, it's not true. It is not Anani ber Merchav ka. It's Anani ber Merchavya, which means wide open and broad response, not God's response that we're talking to addressing God. That's meant to be one word. Rabbi says, no. Merchavya, yes, but not Kesya. That is the meant to be the seat of the Lord. Iboiluhu. How about Rav Chista? Rav Chista never even mentioned Merchavya. He mentioned Haleluka, Kesya, Yedidya. What would be the din according to Rav Chista about Merchavya? I don't know. We actually didn't hear from Rav Chista what he holds about that. Iboiluhu. What about Yedidya? Rav never said what he thought about Yedidya. Is it one word or is it two? So in other words, when Rav said, was he basically adding or was he arguing with Rav Chista? that he'd just come along to say, well, no, Kesia, I'll go along with you, and I would add Merchavia. Is he saying I'm adding Merchavia, or is he saying I'm arguing on anything else you said? Toshma, do you Amar Rav? Rav said Yedidya is actually Nechlak Lishnaim. Yedid Ka. So when we're talking about the name of Shlomo that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent, it's referring to the Yedid of Hashem, in which case the word Ka is Kodesh. And Lefichor Yedid is Chol, Ka is Kodesh. Okay, what about Hallelujah, according to Rav? Rav didn't discuss what he held about that word, Toshma. Because Rav says, I saw personally the Tili Debe Chavivi, my uncle, that was Reb Chia, that he always called my avuncular uncle, so he called him Chavivi, and he says, I saw in his book of Tehillim that he saw the word Hallelujah written on one side of the page at the end of the line, and Yud K written on the next line, and that was on the other side of the page, obviously, because that was on the right, and obviously that meant that Reb Chia held that Hallelujah are two separate words, and you could separate those words at the end of a line and the beginning of the next line. Now, this would mean that Rav is reporting that he holds Hallelujah is two words, the Yud and the Hey being the Shem Hashem. That is not like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, what do you think the word Hallelujah means? It means Hallelujah. It means Hallelujah behilulim harbe. It means like really, hallelujah it up, boys. So that is simply a way of saying we should, this was one of the psakim that Tolkien gave, in which he said, praise them with many praises, right? That was his translation of Inglorium in the Elvish from Hallelujah. So he was saying, praise them with many praises, because he was paskening like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, obviously. So then that would be a meaning of Hallelujah as one word. Now, the problem is that with this, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is arguing on himself. You think that I got even a hint of a smile at law? Absolutely not. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, he's clearly arguing with himself, because once Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said that there are 10 different words of Shevach that appear in Sefer Tehillim. Now, this is very interesting, because remember, we learned yesterday the 10 different Lashonos, which we brought at the Tosus brings, that actually you're not supposed to say more than 7 Lashonos, but those who have the 10 that are listed in the Mishnah, if it goes together with Hallelujah, understand that the Mishnah was basing it on this. In other words, since we find that Hallel is written with the following 10 words that imply elements of Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's why we use Lahodot, Lahalel, Lashabeach, Lefaer, and so on and so forth, connect those 10 Lashonos. Where is he? How does he change those words every day? Barnea, I don't know. I couldn't figure what he goes into his profile and gives me a message every day. Ad kidei kach? Wow. I mean, that deserves a drink.
I'm down to get lunch.
Absolutely. Okay. So, what are these 10 words of Shevach? Well, we find Nitzuach, Nigun, Maskil, Mizmor, Shir, Ashrei, Tehillah, Tefillah, Hoda'ah, and Hallelujah. So, as we know, there are many Tehillim that begin with these different words, right? So we have the Lamanat Seach, we have Maskil David, and so on and so forth. So each and every one of these opens up one of the Tehillim and continues Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and this is the contradiction. Gadol Nikulam Hallelujah. The greatest of all of these Lashonos is the word Hallelujah, because it's Kolel Shem Shevach Bevat Achat, because it includes the Shem Hashem together with the Shevach. Now, I thought Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi was the one who said that Hallelujah does not refer to the Shem Yud Kei. It refers to just this idea of multiplying poetically the effect of the word. So it seems clearly to be arguing on himself. Now, of course, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi may hold that there is a middle ground. In other words, that the reason for the way in which we see those letters as being a broadening, so that Merchav becomes Merchavia, so to speak, is Guva because of the fact that it is Merames to the Shem Hashem. That doesn't mean that you can write it in two words. So being Kololit Bevatachat could be just an understanding of the etymology. And nonetheless, that would make it greater than the other references. Okay, continues the Gemara. Omer Avir Omer Shmuel. Where does this Hallel come from? I mean, to make the big deal over here, we should say Halleluka. We're assuming that it's an important thing. I have no idea where it comes from. I mean, look, when it comes to the Shir in the Torah, Oz Yashir, the Torah identifies it as a big deal. And that I understand, is very much part of Yitziat Mitzrayim. We come out of Mitzrayim, we go to the Yom Suf, and it says, we come out of the Yom Suf, and everybody sings this song, Oz Yashir Moshe. Where's the Hallel? I don't get it. How did Hallel take over Yitziat Mitzrayim? I don't even know where it comes from. So the Shir Shabbat Torah, Moshe B'Yisrael, Amaru B'Shah, Sha'alu Min Hayam. But Hallel? Where's this Hallel from? Hallel Zeh, Miyomro. Who said it? When was it said? What's its historical basis, Bechlal? Well, Nevi'im Shebeinehem, I say that it was actually a takona of the Nevi'im, and they were Tiknu Lehem LeYisrael, Sheyu Omrimoto Al Kol Perek VePerek. They should be saying it in every different moed, so Perek is a time of the year, and they should be saying Al Kol Tzaravit Tzara Shelo Tavo Aleihem. They should say it for every trouble, may it never come. And when they are actually saved from that trouble, they say it on the Geula. Now, this is a very strange way of phrasing things, isn't it? They should say it on every tzara that shouldn't come. And when they get out of the tzara, then they should say it on getting out of the tzara. Are those two separate things? What exactly is going on over here? Now, the truth is that the way the Rashbam seems to understand it quite clearly is that at the complete deliverance, so let's say when we know, when everything, Vayar Yisrael Mitzrayim, Meit al Sfat Hayam, notice that that's the introduction to the Shiras Hayam. What that means is that we could not have sung the Shirat Hayam until we saw Mitzrayim Meit al Sfat Hayam. Now that's very interesting. There's a basis for that, isn't there, in the din of Tu B'Av. The din of Tu B'Av, again, is that we waited until the 15th of the month because of the fact that we could not achieve closure on the past, and we're constantly worried. That's a pretty dumb worry, isn't it? I mean, you know when Rosh Chodesh is. And how in the world could you actually think that the 12th of Av is still Tisha B'Av? The 14th of Av is Tisha B'Av? And you're not satisfied until the 15th? This is the way the Gemara explains it. And that every single night they would lie down in their open graves expecting not to get up? Because maybe? So the idea over here, therefore, is exactly the same as by the Yom Suf, as we'll see later on, that when Klal Yisrael came out of the Yom, they thought that maybe Mitzrayim Keshem Sha'alinu Mitzad Zeh, Kach Mitzrayim Alu Mitzad Ach. They were worried, I don't know, that we're not going to be attacked again. And therefore, until Vayar Yisrael et Mitzrayim Meit al Sfat Hayam, they did not say Oz Yashir. What did they say? So the way the Rashbam understands it, when you were in the process of being saved, but you are not yet secure, that's when you say Hallel. That's what initiates the Hallel. Lo lanu, lo lanu Hashem, ki l'shimcha, and so on. So obviously Hallel is still praying for a result. It's not just the celebration of what happens. And this goes is a theme that runs throughout the Hallel. So therefore, we understand it to mean that Hallel can be said specifically when you feel things have not yet concluded, and you are still praying for them, but are thankful for what has happened. This is one of the strong arguments for Hallel in terms of Yom HaAtzma'ut and so on, where everybody's saying, how can you say Hallel when you're still obviously in deep problems? And that may be the whole point of Hallel. In any event, this is certainly one way of reading the Gemara. Most of the Rishonim don't learn it this way. They just read Ukelish and Nigalim. It's not a separate thing. On any Tzara, Likish and Nigalim, and somehow that Vav disappears. Okay? But it works out very beautifully, according to the Rashbam, as we'll see. Tanya. So now the question is, what are the Shitas among the Tanoim about the Makor of Hala? So Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol Tushbachot Amurot B'Sefer Tehillim Kulam David Amaran. Look, everything that was said in Sefer Tehillim is a poem written by David, and he wrote them, at least the way the Rashbam understands it, before. The Rashbam is, don't get confused, because most of the Rashbam appears on Amud Beis instead of Amud Aleph. They got a little mixed up over there. And so, Amud Beis meaning the previous Amud Beis. So David said them about himself. And Shenemar, because otherwise, how do you explain the pasuk that says, Kolut filot David ben Yishai? These are the end of the tefillahs of David ben Yishai, and this is at the end of Tehillah Ayin Beis. Now, how could this be the last of David's tefillahs if we find plenty of Tehillim identified as Lid David later on? So therefore, Tainis Rabbi Meir, that the word kolu does not mean kolu, it means kol elu. That if you are reading this book, you need to know that what you are reading are the personal experiences of David that have become universalized because of the nature of the malchus of David. That's the point that the pasuk is making, says Rabbi Meir. Therefore, you should know that Hallel was written, like all of the Tehillim, by David. Now, what about the Hallel? So Hallel zeh mi amro, to apply it to situations. So Rabbi Yossi says, I heard from my son, Elazar, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi, that actually Moshe Yisrael amru b'sha'a shalom min hayam. Hallel was said before they said the Shira, because they were not sure at that point that the Mitzrim were dead. That's the point. So first they said Hallel as a tefillah, and then they said the Shira. V'chalukim alav chaverav, but his friends in the yeshiva, they disagreed with him, and they said, no, Hallel had never been said before. It's not that David utilized existing poems to bring into Sefer Tehillim. He wrote those poems on his own, about his own life, and I actually think that my son's words make more sense than his friends, because simply for the same reason that we know that Avram Avinu must have worn a yarmulke. I mean, certainly are you going to suggest that all of these years, Yisrael were being shochtim et pischeim, and they weren't saying hallel? They were carrying their lulavim around, and they weren't saying hallel? Does this make sense? So obviously there must have been a hallel. So then that must be that he's right, that Hallel is a recording of what was said at the Tzoras Hayam, and then it became something that was applied afterwards. And another thing that shows that my son is right, Rabbi Elazar is right. Do you really believe that Hallel could have been written later? I mean, you're going to tell me that Pislo shel micha omed bevechi, v'Yisrael omrim et Hallel. I mean, what is Hallel about? Hallel is about the destruction of Avodah Zarah. Kemoim Yuseim, Kol Asher Boteach Bam. They should turn into a bunch of dumb statues. Now, here we have Klal Yisrael during this entire period until Galut Haaretz, and this the Rashbam understands Bebechi is meant as a euphemism. Everybody's sitting around and dancing around these Avodah Zarahs all of these years, and they are going to be saying Hallel? If Hallel existed before, like Rabbi Elazar, my son says, okay, you know, it's like people will say things even though they don't make any sense to them. What do you mean, Kamom Yoseim? Man, that doesn't apply to us. That doesn't apply to Pesel Micha. It's like the Kuzri was answered, right? When they asked the Chacham, what do you mean they don't care about? How come they never get back to Eretz Yisrael? If they pray for Eretz Yisrael every day, and they're always talking about getting back to Eretz Yisrael, and the Chacham answers them, yeah, the same way that parrots say the things there. I have no idea what they're talking about. So I can't understand. If Hallel existed, so these people might be dancing around Pesel Micha saying Hallel, I understand. But certainly they couldn't have made it up, because then it still would have made something, meant something. So it must be that it came from the time of the Yamsuf. I think that Rebbe Lazar is right. Anyway, the Brisa has a lot of different approaches to this. So Tana Rabban, Ko Shirot V'Tushbachot Shamar David B'Sefer Tehillim. Where do these come from? What is the meaning of them? All of these Tehillim and Shira in Tehillim. So Rebbe Eliezer Omer, they were all personal. Kegeneged Atzmo Amaran, like Rebbe Meir said. He was referring to himself, and they became universalized. Rebbe Yoshua Omer, no. His intent was always about Yisrael, and he was using himself perhaps in that language as a model, but everything he was referring to was to the essence of Yisrael. So what's Keneged Sibur Omrum? The Chachamim say, sometimes it was Keneged Sibur, sometimes it was personal, and it's easy to see. If they are always using Lashon Yachid, so then they're about himself. If they're spoken about in Lashon Rabbim, so then they're Keneged HaTzibur. Now, there's also, says Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, we have all of these different Lashonos, but these different Lashonos, if you take a look at the patterns of the times that we use certain words to open up a tehillah, you can gain an insight into the sets that they are referring to. So, if you notice wherever it says Nitzuach or Nigun Lamginot, those are always referring to La'atid Lavo. It's always referring to after Mashiach comes and everything is completed. Again, the Rashbam says, look, we're not analyzing the words. We're just pointing out the patterns. We can't explain to you why Nitzuach and Nigun are referring to Yemos HaMashiach. I don't know. But there certainly is this pattern. All right, this is the Rashbam, but I mean, doesn't mean that you cannot analyze the relationship of the words to that. Wherever we use the word maskil, so maskil means that somebody else is giving this over and teaching it. It means that it's not something that you can just read as poetry, which means that there must have been a meturgeman. Someone needed to take these poems that David was given. They were really meant as a shir, not a shiur with an ayin, not just a shiur with a yud. When it says le David mizmor, note, sometimes it says mizmor le David, and sometimes it says le David mizmor. Is that the same? Not at all. Le David mizmor melamed shesharta lav shchina ve'achar kach amar shira. If le David, what is le David? Le David means that the Ruach HaKodesh, the Shechina, was first shira on David, le David. Then he was able to say Mizmor as a result of that inspiration, which is what the word literally would mean then. And if he says Mizmor le David, it means he had to sing first, Sha'omar Shira, and through his singing, the Shechina was Shira on him, which we know from the other pasuk that we'll bring in a moment that we've talked about so often on Sukkot, Melamed she'amar shira, and the shira brought the shechina on him. Lelamedcha she'ina shechina shora, you cannot have a hashras hashechina if you're feeling blechi and you're not really active. You're in a state of atzlus, or you're sad, lomitoch atzfut, or you're just laughing about something, or you're just feeling a little bit Kalas Rosh, taking things cool. V'lomi toch dvarim b'teilim, and the Shechina can't be sure just for talking about nonsense. Only mitoch dvar simcha, and it has to be a dvar simcha shal mitzvah, as we see that Elisha said, k'chuli minagein, v'ayaken ageina minagein, v'tahiel av yad Hashem. That when Elisha was so depressed at what was going on, and he felt that the Shechina, he wasn't able to get nevias, so first he brought music, and then after he had Meshe David there, and the Minagain was being Minagain, so at that point, the Ashras HaShechina could come on him, and that's exactly why it says Mizmor le David in that order. Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. This is true. Once we're talking about music, and we're talking about the way in which a person is in a state of mind to be able to be makabel l'shchina, the same thing is true when it comes to Torah. You're learning a dvar halacha, it's a totally different situation when you're in a state of happiness. Omer Rav Nachman, the same thing is true about how you dream. The way you go to sleep, your state of mind when you go to sleep, is definitive of what your brain will perceive as you sleep. Now, wait a minute. You're telling me it's a good thing to be happy when you're learning Torah? Didn't Rav Gidl Amar Rav say that kol talmid chacham yoshev lifnei rabo ve'en siftotav notvot mor tikavena? A Talmud is sitting in front of his Rebbe, and his lips are not dripping with bitterness because he's going through hell, then he should be burned in Gehenna. Shenema siftotav shoshanim notfot mor over. So we darsh this to mean. Shoshanim means like roses? No, it's siftotav sheshonim. The lips of those who are learning should be not mor over, which is myrrh that's flowing, but rather mar over. They should be feeling constantly a sense of dread, because everything that you're learning may be pointing out to you how wrong you are about everything. So you're just sitting there learning and you're in front of your Rebbe and you don't expect to get smashed? That's crazy. That's the whole point of your learning, I thought. So because of that, if you don't have those feelings, then that means that ultimately you are not going to be able to be metakein yourself and you will end up in hell, tikavena. That's the point. So how do you explain? Sorry? Exactly. That's how it should be. That's the real smile, right? Kalos Rosh, he's supposed to smile at? Nonsense. Okay, so anyway, how did Rav say that it's a good idea to be happy when you're learning? Rav was talking about the Rebbe. These guys are the Talmidim. Let them be bitter. The Rebbe should be happy. So lo kasha, haba rabba, haba talmida. Note that's what it said. Talmida yoshev lifnei rabo. Or it could be, you know what? Even the Rebbe is supposed to be bitter. One is referring to before the beginning of the shir. And one is referring to once you're sitting down in the depths of the shir. Because take a look at Rabba. Before Rabba would start saying shir, he would always make a joke. So mikami de potach lu, he would get everybody laughing. And he would omar milta de b'dichuta, he would say something funny, and everybody would burst out laughing. And that broke the tension and put people into a sense of being open and not tense or feeling that they have to protect themselves. And then Rabba sat himself in this ambience of pachat. And then he patach b'shmaitata. Getting back to the halal. So Tana Rabbanan. Halal ze mi omro, Rabbi Eliezer omer, Moshe v'Yisrael amru b'sha'a sha'amdu al hayam, as we saw before. Heim amru lo lanu Hashem, lo lanu, because obviously this is desperate pleas, right? You're feeling it's all over. Don't save us for us. Save us in the name of your own shame. Kila shimcha. And in fact, we find that Ruach HaKodesh answered them. Where do we find that? In Yeshayahu. Because in Yeshayahu it says, Lemani, Lemani, Aseh. So what is that Lemani, Lemani, that double Lemani, is an exact counter to Lo Lanu, Lo Lanu. True, Lemani, Lemani. You see, so it's obvious that the words recorded by Yeshayahu are the words that are responsive to every time that we say Lo Lanu, Lo Lanu. That's exactly the point. So we clearly see the nature of halal as a bakasha, not as a celebration. Reb Yehuda Omer, Yisrael, Yoshua v'Yisrael amaru b'sha'a shamdu alayhem malchei Knan. We had that tremendous attack from all of the malchei Knan that it gathered together, and it says that v'yitkapzu yachtav li'lachem im Yoshua v'im Yisrael pe'achad. They all got together at that point. That was the biggest world war, the greatest risk that they found themselves That's when they said it. Lo lanu, lo lanu. And indeed, as it says in Yeshayahu, the Shekhinah was meshiv lehem, lemani, lemani. Rabbi Elazar amoda yomer, devora uvaraka maru, b'sha'ash amad aleihem sisra. That was a very tight spot. They said, lo lanu, lo lanu, and Ruach HaKodesh said, lemani, lemani. Rabbi Elazar ben Azari omer. It was actually Chizkiyo and all of the people with him that B'Shar Shamad Aleihem Sancheriv. They said, lo lanu, lo lanu. So these are situations of increasing desperation. And each one of them, now there's a machlokus over here between Rashi and the Rashbam, another Rishayim. Rashi learns that all of these are not arguing with each other. They're not referring to the primal mocker of the Hallel. They are saying exactly what we originally said, that Nevi'im should be Nevi'im, as we'll see the Chachamim explain at the end, which Bapashas means that they're arguing. Rashi learns they're not arguing. So the Nevi'im were mitakein these Tehillahs to be said, and that means that these are the desperate situations when it was both said and HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded. So it's just examples of where this takana was actually implemented. The Rashbam learns that, so then, I mean, the whole machlokes, seems to be a machlokes over here, that the Chachamim, Imrim, is not the same as the specifics, that each one of these seems to be the mucker of the Hallel. Okay, I mean, Rashi certainly seems very, very reasonable. So Rabbi Akiva says, Chananya, Mishael, Vazaria said the Hallel. There too we had that response. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded to them. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, it was even later than that. It was Mordechai and Esther Amru. Note that we're going through the generations, which makes it very, very strongly suggestive of Rashi. That we started off at the Yam, we have a takana from that point that the Nevi'im said that whenever you are in desperate straits, this is the way to respond with the Hallel, and then you relive after you're saved, you relive the events by saying the Hallel afterwards as the Shevach for the Nigalim Alav, which is a brilliant way of seeing the whole thing, the combination of Rashi's approach and the Rashbam's approach about understanding how you would be saying it, Ula Kishenigalim. The Chachamim Omrim, again, according to Rashi, the wrap-up, according to Rashbam, a new Shita, that Nevi'im Shebeneim Tiknu Lehem Liyisroel Shiomrim Oto Akol Perek V'Perek V'Al Kol Tzara V'Tzara Shelo Tavo Aleihem Ula Kishenigalim Omrim Oto Al Geulatam. Now, there's also a question of Halleluka. Is that the end of a Tehillah, or is it the beginning? So Rav Chista says, look, I mean, there's no, when we have the Sefer, we don't have indications in the Sefer of where the Halleluka should be put. I say Halleluka comes always at the end of the Tehillah. So whatever the last word is, then you add Halleluka. Rabbi Bar Avuna says, no, no, Halleluka is the beginning of the next new Tehillah. Halleluka, Halleli Nafshi Es Hashem. Not Halleluka, and then start the next parak, Halleli Nafshi Es Hashem. Amr of Chista, I saw the Tehillim in the house of Rav Chanin Barav, and he always put Halleluka in the middle. Apparently, he wasn't sure whether it belonged to the previous parak or whether it belongs to the next parak. So, Alma Misafkale. Amr of Chanin Barav, look, I mean, there's obviously cases where we don't have any suffix. I mean, everybody's mode, Tehillat Hashem Yedaber Pi Vivarei Kol Batzor Shem Kedsho Le'olam Va'ed. Halleluka that comes afterwards is Halleluka Halleli Nafshi. Halleluka the Batrei, after that, it's Rosh Pirka. Same thing of Rosh Yireh V'choaz Shinav Yacharok V'namas Ta'avat Rishaim Toved. When we say Halleluka there, it's the beginning of Halleluka Hallelu Avdei Hashem, and that's the beginning of the Hallel. And that for sure is Rosh Pirka. And the same thing is true also with She'omdim Beveit Hashem. The Halleluka afterwards, Halleluka Kitov Hashem, is the beginning. There are other people who are big Bekiim in Torah Shebiksav, so they call them Karoi. The Karoi are Mosif other cases. Binachal Baderach Ishtea Alkein Yarim Rosh. The Halleluka that follows afterwards is actually the Reish Pirka, and that begins Halleluka Oda Hashem Bechol Levav, and so on. The Reish is Chochma Yiras Hashem, Seichel Tov Lechol Oseihem. It comes before the word Halleluka that goes on to say Halleluka Ashrei Ish. The Halleluka of Ashrei Ish goes with Ashrei Ish and not Tov Lechol Oseihem Halleluka. Now, the question of whether it's actually meant in general to be the end or the beginning that we said was a machlokas between Rav Chista and Rabba Bar Avuna, or whether it was a suffix, maybe it's actually machlokas tanoim. And this is how we get right back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Ad heichanu omer, how many tehillim do you say of the halal before the seuda? So the Beit Sham Ashita is Ad em habanim smecha. Beit Hillel Shita is you also so betzet Yisroel mimitzrayim. So you go until chalamish lamaynomayim. But it's weird that we have a brisa that brings the same achlokas, but in different words. And there it says, Ad heichanu omer, Beit Shammai omrim, Ad betzet Yisroel mimitzrayim. Whoa. So, Basila says, Ad lo lono Hashem lo lono. Now, how do you explain the difference in the language? I mean, I would assume that my laba kamiflagate, that they're both saying the same thing. The point is that the Mishnah, Lamandi Omar ad em abonim smecha, he can't say Halleluka because he holds Halleluka is the beginning of Halleluka, but says Yisrael mimitzrayim. So apparently he ends, Beit Shammai says, say until em abonim smecha. Because then the next word, which is Halleluka, is not part of the first Tehillah. And Mandi Omar ad betzet Yisrael, in the Braita, he apparently holds that Beit Shammai says, you say Halleluka the way we say it as the end of the first part of Hallel. So apparently it really is a big machlokas here between these two ways of saying over the machlokas Beit Shammai v'Tehillel. No, not necessarily. Rav Chista is betar, it's the time A. And everybody holds that, of course, Halleluka is the end of the one, like we read it over here. Why we said it in the Braita Ad Betzet Yisrael, that is for sure the right, the truth. The reason that the Tanya, the Mishnah, says Ad Em Abanim Smecha and doesn't say the word of the Halleluka, that's we couldn't say Ad Seis Yisrael, you see. Because if he would have said Ad Seis Yisroel, he holds Ad means Ad Bichlal. In which case it would mean that you include, according to Beit Shammai, B'tzeit Yisrael Mimitzrayim, but you don't. So he couldn't say Ad B'tzeit. That was the problem. Nothing to do with the, but obviously everybody agrees with me that the last word is Halleluka. I don't get it, but according, that was our question. If the Tana here in the Mishnah holds that Halleluka is the last word, then why didn't he say that Beit Shammai says Ad Halleluka? Oh, come on, how are you supposed to say Ad Halleluka? Which Halleluka? How many Hallelukas there are? No, Vechitem Yotomi, because I wouldn't know which Halleluka. Thank you very much. I'm not so stupid. I mean, you should say. Beit Shammai says, you say until the word Halleluka of the Tehillah that says Ema Banim Smecha, right? Okay, fine. That's a problem. If to you that's a big problem, go sit and puff on it, all right? It's very awkward. Fine. So it's a problem. Rabba Bar Avuna, on the other hand, he says, everybody holds like me. Kuli Am Halleluka is, in fact, the beginning of the next parak, and it should say Halleluka, but say Yisroel Mimitzrayim. So Mandi Omer Ad Em Abanim Smecha. That's great, because that's the last words that you say. Em Abanim Smecha. Not Em Abanim Smecha. You see? So therefore, the Tana, the Mishnah, is doing exactly what you need to do. The Mandi Omar in the Braita who said Ad Betzeit Yisrael, he holds that Ad is not Ad Bechlal. So he couldn't say, and what's he supposed to say? Ad Em Abanim Smecha? So then that would mean we don't say the words Em Abanim Smecha, we only say up to the line Em Abanim Smecha. That's not true. So he had to say Ad the Betzeit Yisrael Mimitzrayim. But wait a minute, I thought you hold B'tzeit Yisroel Mimitzrayim starts with the word Halleluka. So then why doesn't he say Ad Halleluka? Now I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, well, then we wouldn't know which Halleluka. Okay, so say Ad Halleluka B'tzeit Yisroel Mimitzrayim. Okay, fine. You got a problem, Kash. All right, then the Mishnah says, and then we close with the bracha of Geula, and we have the machlokes about whether there's a chatima on there according to Rabbi Akiva, because we have the whole tefillah, kein Hashem Elokeinu yivienu, and so on and so forth. Now, the question is like this, and this idea of geula appears in various places, right? So when you're talking about Kriyat Shema, where we're talking about Goal Yisrael, or you're talking about the bracha that we say here, the Birchas HaGeula on Pesach, at the Seder. The language correctly is Goal Yisrael. When you get to the bracha of Geula in the Shmoneh Esrei, it's Goel Yisrael. Why? Because basically you're talking about the Bakoshas Rachamim, that we should be Zocha to Geula, not that we were. It's not Shevach that we were Zocha to Geula. It's a completely different context. The same thing is true Lagabi Kiddush. Omer Rabbi Zera, when you're talking about Kiddusha, so when you say over there, Asher Kiddushonu b'mitzvotav v'tzivonu, and so on. But in Tefillah, you don't say Asher Kiddushonu, you say Kaddishenu b'mitzvotecha, because you're being mevakesh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be mekadishas. My time at the Rachmeninu, the same idea. Omer Avachu Bar Yaakov, the same thing when you're talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim. You need to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim in the middle of Kiddush, because it says, Baglagabe, the din of Laman Tiskor Yom Tzitcham Eretz Mitzrayim, and it says by Kiddush, Zachor is Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. Now that means that those two things are equivalents. Omer Rabba Bar Shila, the Tzolot, another thing that is different is that when you're talking about Dovid HaMelech, it's Matzmiach Keren Yeshua, so that you're talking about it's happening. But when you're talking about the Haftorah, you speak about what happened, and that is Magen David. And what's the moker for that bracha, Magen David? Because it says, Vasiti lecha shem gadol kashem agadolim asher ba'aretz. So the Nosan HaNovi tells David HaMelech HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make him great like the greatest. Tony Rav Yosef, this means the same way we say for Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, it's the lashon of Magen Avram in the bracha. Here we say Magen David. Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Actually, the Eschel Goy Gadol that was said to Avram Avinu is Elohi Avraham. V'avarecha is Elohi Yitzchak. V'agadla Shemecha is Elohi Yaakov. You might think the Chatima should mention Magen Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov. Talmud Lomar v'yei bracha b'cha chotmim v'ein chotmim b'kulam. But that's because you cannot be choteh with two inyonim. But when you have David HaMelech, the Shem Gadol is to say Magen David. Omar Rava, I once came and I found the Sabi de Pumpadita, and I'm a little bit concerned about the time over here, but if we run, we can get to the Mishnah. Shall I run ahead? Okay. But it doesn't need going slowly. So I found once the Zakenim of Pumpadita. Remember we had in Sanhedrin that meant Rav Yehuda and Ravina, that they were saying in Shabbos, whether it's during davening or whether it's during Kiddush, you always end with the bracha Mikadesh HaShabbat. If it's Yom Tov, whether it's Kiddush or whether it's davening, you say Mikadesh Yisrael Vazmani. And I said to them, I think just the opposite. It doesn't mean literally just the opposite. It means that the main difference you should make is between Kiddush and Tefillah, not between Shabbos and Yom Tov. So I would say, on Yom Tov, the deal should be that during the tzoluta, during davening, the din is whether it's Shabbos, whether it's Yontev, you talk about Mekadosh Yisrael. And I'll explain to you why in a minute. And on Kiddush, so then it would depend on Shabbos, you say Mekadosh Shabbos, on Yontev, you say Mekadosh Yisrael Vazmanim. Let me explain to you their logic, and let me explain to you my logic. Now you'll see, I fully understand the alternatives over here. Anamina time of the diva time of the tru. I want to explain my own approach and their approach. I see it like this. You, Sabi de Pumpadisa, he tells them, you believe that since Shabbat is Kviya V'Kaima, and that is something that is here from Sheshis Mei Bereshis, it does not require Yisrael to create, to be Kere Shem on Shabbos. So therefore, Bein B'Tzlota, Bein B'Kiddusha, you say Mekadosh HaShabbos. Masha'en Ken Yom Tov, which is dependent on the Besdin, and it's Yisrael that is Kovei Rosh Chodesh, to come Abri Yarchi Vekavei Lashani. So there you have to say Mekadesh Yisroel v'Azmanim. That's your logic. And it's very logical. I just want to tell you why I disagree. Time Adini is I say, look, the Shmoneh Esrei, again, I did this stupid art scroll approach. The Tzolota, which is not Shmoneh Esrei, but the Tefillah is always Berabim. So Berabim, you want to be Mechabe the Tzibur, and you say Mekadesh Yisroel. But Kiddush, which is biyochid, that's something you do in your own home. So there you should be more mechabed the Shabbos. You say b'Shabbos mekadesh haShabbos, or on Yontif, should be more mekadesh the Yontif and Yisroel v'Azmanim. But this is not, doesn't make any sense. What are you telling me, that people always go to shul? It's like nobody davens on their own. They never heard of Corona in those days. So obviously, Tzolota B'Yochid you can also have. And what, you're telling me you never make Kiddush Barab, and you're not big Kiddush after davening with 200 people there? Or are you making Kiddush at a Shever Brachas? Rav says, okay, I understand, obviously, but Zil Basar Ikra, I mean, most of the time, you know what it's like. Ula Barav, he was once asked to be the Shliach Tzibur in front of Rava, and he said, boy, in front of Rava, he said like this, Sabi de Pumbadisa, not like them, and Rava didn't say anything. Rava said, okay, good. So apparently, Harabe Rava, he must have agreed in the end that he was wrong. Rav Nasan, Avuah de Rav Yudah, Nochis Kamei, the Rav Papa, and he also said, Kisabi de Pumbadisa, and Rav Papa said, excellent, that's the correct way to do it. And Ravina said, I once came to Surah, Kamei de Marema, and they asked me in front of me, they went down, the Shliach Tzibur went down and said, Kisabi de Pumbadita, and I saw that everybody said, no, that's wrong, what the heck is wrong with you? You're supposed to go and say Mekadesh Yisroel when it's, Amar Lehu, Marema said to him, no, leave him be, because Shal Hilchata Kisabi de Pumbadita, he's saying correct. So then they stopped. And at that point, they were koveya da locha kesabi de pumpetita, which is, of course, the way that we do it.